The book of St. Luke, chapter 5. St. Luke, chapter 5. Yes, Lord. Can somebody start praying? I don't want it to be another service. I told somebody, and I told my church this morning, I don't want to give another lecture in the pulpit. I want to preach. I want to preach what thus said God. I want when you leave, you have an encounter with God. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. Let's look in this text that seems so simple yet so deep. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would trust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake." Jump over to verse 8. "And Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Holy Spirit, we pray that you will move in this place, and that self will not manifest itself, but your power would manifest your glory in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Touch somebody and say, take advantage of the now. Take advantage of the now. Sit down. Sit down. Take advantage of the now. You see, I've preached this text before, but I've looked at this text again. And even this afternoon after church, I sat around my dining table ripping it to pieces and trying to put this text together. But when one look at the text, you come up with some stuff, some truths that the natural eyes without mining the text would have missed. You see, a clear understanding about ancient fishing, especially on the Sea of Galilee, allows us to paint in vivid details the scenes of one of the first miracles of Jesus, his ministry, as it occurs. Likely, it occurred based on the reading of the text. It occurred in the winter on the lakeshore near Capernaum. You see, a lot of us do not know that the season in Israel is not constant. Just like myself, the first time I went to South Africa, I had just returned from Uganda, and then I had a few months to go back into South Africa. And Uganda is warm. It's above the equator. And I didn't know I hear South Africa, but I hear the continent, not understanding that the continent is so wide and big and large, the landmass. So when I got to South Africa and came off the plane, thought it was going to be warm, I said, Jesus Christ, where am I at? Then they said to me, didn't you read your email? I said, no. They said, well, if you had read your email, you'd have understood that it's our winter. It's like my wife and I went to Australia. And when we got to Australia, left the sun here and got to Australia, oh, gracious God, I'm saying this is real winter. Because you look in Australia and you believe that, no, it is sunshine. is the same for Israel. They have winter and they have summer. And so when you look at the text, and from all the reading of the text, and I'll show you later on, this occur around the winter time. You see, fishing was done at night and would come to an end at the dawn, because in the light of the day, based on the equipment that they had at that time, they could not fish in the day because fish would have seen the net. I'll talk about that later. So because of that time, because it was the light of the day, fish could see the net in, and most of their fishing was done at night. Fishermen use in those days trommel net. It's that type of net that when the fish go in, there's no way it can they can come out. It just locked them up. But before the fishermen in those days turn in for the day, they would carefully wash their nets and hang them to dry. Why? If the linen net were not dried promptly after it was taken out of the sea, amen, and in a short time, the type of material that would make their, that made the net, it would start to rot. So when you'd see a fisherman washing his net, it was a clear indication that fishing was over. I'm done. I'm going home. I have done my work, whether it is 8 hours or 7 hours, I'm done. I'm going home. From the text, my brothers and sisters, Jesus arrived at the lake shore while the fishermen were still washing their net. It was early in the morning. And Jewish sources support the fact of the diligence and faithfulness of the teachers in Israel in those, in that period, and the people's eagerness in those times to learn the Torah. It was their life. And here came a Jewish boy who was teaching. His teaching was radical, and therefore, my brothers and sisters, he had a gathering. He had a crowd following him. T.D. Jakes is in town. And therefore, we got to go listen to him, because somehow he is different. You see, there's a big difference with having church and clapping your hands and going home. But there's a big difference when there is a demonstration of the power of God. And Jesus' teachings were different. He was the new kid on the block, and the crowd would always gather to hear him. From rabbinic literature, one learns that the rabbis taught in every conceivable venue, amen, at any time of the day or night. In other words, every opportunity they got, they would teach. Here we have Jesus, the rabbi, the sage, the wise teacher, teaching in the early morning. Perhaps, amen, based on the text, about 7 a.m., amen, from a fishing boat, because fishing would come to an end early in the morning. So about 7 a.m., Jesus, my brothers and sisters, like I said, was extremely popular with the common people. The only people that despised him were the religious elites. But the common people loved him. And somehow they got wimp that he was around, and the crowd just went after him. The people wanted to hear him. They were eager to hear him and to learn from him. And the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 5, and it came to pass as the people press upon him. The crowd was such that they were just pushing against him. The Bible says in the same text, to hear the word of God, he stood on the lake of Gennesaret. The crowd was large enough, which caused him to use a boat as a platform. As a platform. Let's take the text quietly. So let's go back. Fishing on the Sea of Galilee was a tough job. It was a tough job. Therefore, they were tough men. Their bodies were mostly wet at times. Why? Winter is when the fishing, my brothers and sisters, from reading the text, fishing, however, based on everything that we know about Israel and fishing was at its best on Galilee in the winter season. Why? Because it was the tilapia season. They call it the fish that Peter, and it was the sardine season. So it was at its best. Men would go out because, remember, you got to take advantage of the season. But somehow in that season, Peter caught nothing. There comes a time in your season when you believe it is your time and something says it's not your time. It's not your time because Jesus is not around, it seems. But can I tell you something? I don't care what you have missed, because when Jesus shows up, amen, there's a shift in the paradigm. Oh God, help me here. When Jesus shows up, there must be a shift. And a shifting in your season. And that is what is about to happen. Somebody say, I have toiled all night, but there is about to be a shift, because somebody special is in town. My brothers and sisters, before I get any further, let me talk to you. Jesus is not only a historical figure. He is God. Amen. Can I talk to you for a while? He's not an historical figure only. He's God. The Bible says he's God. The scripture endorsed that he's God. And anytime God comes around, there must be a shifting in the atmosphere. I don't care if you fail yesterday, if you fail today, if you're dropping over tomorrow, if Jesus shows up, there must be a shifting. Oh God, help me. And the Bible tells me where two or three are gathered, he is right there. Can I tell somebody here, Jesus is here. Can I take my time? You know why sometimes miracles are not happening? It's not that God is not around, but your perception will determine the result. Let me tell you why I say that. Oh God, help me. The woman perceived that Elijah was a prophet. And her perception, amen, dictate to her that my behavior around the prophet must be different. I can't treat the prophet like an ordinary man. Can I preach here today in this church? Her perception, can I go down that lane a little? Her perception allow her to treat him differently. You can't treat a man of God like an ordinary person, because he's the voice of God that speaks to you. And if you love God, you're going to love his voice. Oh God, can somebody help me? And the Bible says, because of how she treated the man of God, she did not pray for a son, but her treatment of the man of God, amen, if Ben, oh God, touched the very heart of God and allow her womb that was barren to bring forth a child. Can I say something? Something is about to happen, or something must happen when Jesus shows up. I tell my wife, I don't care what they've done in Ontario. I am saying to Ontario, you can allow history to shape your perception. I'm dead. I tell my wife, don't fight with people. They're going to miss the boat. Don't fight with anybody who don't want to follow you. They'll miss the boat. But your perception will bring you into greatness. And your perception will also kill you. I'm about to tell you, the Jews had gone to many teachings before. They had gathered to listen to many other teachers before. My God. But this teacher showed up this time, and he was about to change not only Peter's life, because when God touches you, can't be selfish with your blessing. Oh God, cannot talk to you. Because one of the blessings of God is that he changes your heart, and the first thing that grabs it is love. No man that is touched by God is selfish. But can we get there? Can we get there? Can we get there? Can we get there? Shokora bababa. So it was early. It was early in the morning. So let me get back into the text. Fishing was tough. The Bible says, I missed something here. I said fishing on the Sea of Galilee was a tough job. Therefore were the tough men. Their bodies were wet most of the time because it would be winter. Winter was the season of the sardine and the tilapia. In those days, there were no rubber rain gear like what fishermen have today. There were no rubber rain gear. So whatever came on them would just soak them. The work was also tough physically. Why? It entails, oh God, can I preach to somebody? There's something, God don't bless lazy people. But that's another sermon, because he said, if you don't work, I can't feed you. But that's another sermon. It's in the text, but I'm not going to touch that. The work was hard physically because it entails rowing to and from the fishing site, hauling in heavy nets and lifting the catches of the fish. Cast net fishermen had to dive, listen carefully, under the water repeatedly to retrieve their net in the winter time. The men would work all night and then they would sleep in the daytime. A typical fishing village would be from 7 a.m. until 1:30. It was a noisy place, but when Jesus shows up, the noise must cease and people must listen because they did not have microphone. But let's look at the text. Amen. That's why sometimes we need to keep silent if we're going to hear. The Bible says, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their net. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon. God, come in my boat, please. And prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. My brothers and sisters, put yourself in Peter's place for a while. Work all night in a small boat. It not only that, it was winter, it was cold, it was dark, and maybe it rained that night. I don't know. I'm just putting that in the text. Amen. How would you feel if while washing your net shortly after dawn, after a long wet night, dead tired, amen, you hear somebody, amen, climb into your boat and say, you gotta work. God, you're hard. Come on, Jesus, you're tough. Jesus climb into your boat and ask you row into the lake, and then he would have you sit down and listen to him maybe for hours. Amen. I'm tired. And then you gotta go fishing. The moment. How can this be my moment? How can this be my moment? Let me tell you one of the reasons why some of us are not blessed. Let me preach to you. Because we expect our moment to be always on our terms. Can I talk to you for a while? We expect to be blessed on our term, on our own convenient time. But can I tell you something? For God to bless you, he has to stretch you. For God, listen to me. All those whom God has raised up, go read from Genesis right back to Revelation chapter 22. Amen. Genesis 1 to 50. 50 chapters in the book of Genesis, 22 in Revelation. Read through all 66 books, because every man that God has raised up, he has to stretch them. When he called Abraham, he stretched him. When he called Moses, he stretched him. When he called Joshua, he stretched him. When God sent Jesus, he stretched him. Can I talk to somebody here? Amen. Sometimes God want to bless you, but he has to stretch you. Can I talk to somebody? He's not going to bless you on your time. He will bless you on his time. And sometimes we allow a moment to pass because we want it on our time.
Somebody stand up and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That is why you mustn't fight for blessing. You mustn't politicize blessing. You must wait on your time. Can I talk to you? It's like Tennessee, men who are trying to fight for position. And let men put them up. If man put you up, man will put you down. But when you're hiding out in the field, amen, not expecting to be raised up. My God, when you're stretched and nobody care for you. Now here comes Samuel, when the oil could not run on anybody, but it had to run upon you. I come to tell West Toronto, seize the moment when God is speaking, not on your term, but on God's term. Hi, Rabakosata. Bishop Vernon, listen to me. There are some young men would have been great preachers in Ontario, tearing it to pieces. But Bishop Pierce, you know what happened to them? Amen. Dr. Notice talked about it the other day. They could not go through their apprentice period. They got them when they should have learned from, come here, Bishop Vernon. When they should have been an apprentice to Bishop Vernon and walked behind him like Elisha. Walk behind Elijah. They ran off and before him. But when Elijah came off the scene, he had deposited everything into Elisha. And Elisha became greater than Elijah. Can I talk to somebody? Wait for the moment, and when your moment comes, seize it. Can I preach here tonight? That's why I'm not afraid of any man who split my church. Not afraid of that. I beg them, I challenge you, go ahead and do it. One day it's going to drop on your head and break your neck. It's going to make you old. So many young men in Toronto, so many young women who have the ability to have waited for their moment. But when God stretched them, they jumped from church to church. Amen. They're all over the place. I call you back to West Toronto. You need to come back into your place and let God stretch you. You're tired, you're worn, you're weary. But sit down in the boat and wait until Jesus is through teaching. Because am I preaching to somebody? You're here. You're there. You're everywhere. Tired Garfield. I have worked all night. And Jesus said, sit down. Can I say it better? Leave your little backside right here. You didn't hear me. Don't go anywhere. You gotta. I'm tired. I'm weary. I need a sleep. I've been beaten up. I've died so many times. I'm cold. I need rest. But Jesus said, wait. I'm teaching, wait. 1 hour, wait. 2 hours. You know why I can't put a time limit on Jesus? Because I've read the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah chapter 8 tells me that the people stayed, amen, and they taught all day, and the people didn't leave. If they didn't leave under Nehemiah, what says the bright, brilliant, powerful Jesus? I could see Peter, but Peter, it's your moment. Don't leave. It's your moment. It's your moment. Can somebody say, it's your moment? You better wait. It's your moment. I've learned one thing. When it is dark, night is about to break. When the doctor say push and you feel like stopping, the baby's about to come forth. I'm about to tell somebody, I feel the anointing of God upon me here tonight. Wait, I'm going to teach. Note what he said. But I've noted a few things in the text. I'm not done. Feeling sleepy. may be hungry. If I understand, and later on when you understand the type of boat, you'll realize he couldn't have carried a lot of stuff feeling hungry, feeling sleepy. He couldn't sleep on the sea because of the type of boat. I'll tell you about that later. But Jesus said to him, stay here. If you note something in the text, when Jesus said to Peter, trust it out, he didn't say, go back and go do what you're doing. Because when God takes you from something, he's about to place something better into your hand. Can I tell you something honestly, Bishop Vernon? We could have raised up mega churches. Don't give me that nonsense that the Old Testament or the New Testament, they were all small churches. Listen to me carefully. It was for the moment, because it was the start of the church from church, house to house. But then we read in the scripture, the church grew that they could not count them as house church anymore. They grew by multitude. Because by the time I got, listen to me, we better read scripture. We better turn back to Acts 17 and verse 11. We better read scripture. Because by the time I get to Acts chapter 5 and get to verse 28, the Jews were in fear. They said, this man's blood you're bringing upon us. Every place was touched with the gospel. So don't tell me about these little churches. The little church can't grow. Anything that's not growing and being maintained soon die. I'm maintaining for the heaven. Who are you? You're God. You're only steward. You're not asked to guard. Grow the church. Work with God. Where do you get that theory? You're not reading. You're living in tradition. Can I preach to you for a while? We need to get back in the word. The churches must grow. But let me say to you, you got to wait at God. Why are you leaving when it's time for prayer and fasting? Prayer and fasting is stretching time. Prayer and fasting is uncomfortable time. But there's something about prayer and fasting. Jesus always shows up. Yeah. And Jesus afterward, let me quickly run on. I have a few more minutes. I promise not to preach long like when I was younger. The 18th of July, I'll be 60, so I gotta reserve my strength for at least 10 more years. But Jesus said to Peter, let's hear what it says. And he entered onto one of the shepherds, Simon, and prayed him that he would trust out a little from the land, sat down and taught the people. Now when, verse 4 is key. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, you're not going anywhere yet. Peter! You're tired. Peter! You have listened. Because there cannot be deliverance without teaching. Enlightenment. I can't bless you until I enlighten you. Because blessing without enlightenment, you will squander it. Have you ever seen a bamboo tree just sprout up and can't go any further? God can't bless you unless you're enlightened. And when he enlightens you, is that he's preparing you for blessing. The Bible says, my people, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon it day and night. And then he said, if you do that, you're going to have good success. So before I bless you, can somebody say, God is only prepare me through enlightenment in his word to bless me. You run from church to church. What scripture do you know? Where there is life. The Bible is not another book. It's revelation. Ah, That's why you can't plumb the depth of God's word. Because you read it 10 times, 100 times, you still cannot mine the gold. Oh, God, help me. Jesus said, Peter, listen to me. Sit down. Because when I bless you, before I bless you, I got to teach you. Before I release you, I got to teach you. Fisherman. Peter was a fisherman. A fisherman. And Jesus was a rabbi. Not only was he a rabbi, he was known as a carpenter. What do you know about fishing? What do you know about fishing? A rabbi telling a skilled fisherman. What do you know, Jesus? Do you know what type of net we use? Now you know about carpentry. If you were telling me the joints of the boat need to be fixed, I would understand that. Because you're a carpenter. If you were going to tell me about the Torah, I could understand. I just listened to you. You're the greatest teacher. But now you're saying to me, a fisherman who understands how fish spawn. I know the fishing holes. I know how they bite. I know where the fishing hole, I know where they gather. That's my life. It's daytime. Maybe it's 10 o'clock, the sun is shining. Can I preach this text and stop it? Number one, there were trommel boats. And they could only hold between 2 to 4 people, no more. But when I read the text, it wasn't 3 or 4 people in the text, in the boat. It was Jesus and Peter. One had to row, quite likely Jesus, and one had to fish. Here is what I'm about to tell you. What makes the difference? When Jesus is in your boat, seize the moment when he shows up. You're tired, but I'm not quitting. I'm weary, but I'm not quitting. Jesus, as long as you... Can I tell somebody something? And this is from the Lord. Some of you are about to die without your fish. Number one, for you to catch fish in the day, you had to corner them and frighten them inside the fishing net. And the text tells me that Jesus never got out of the boat. All he said, let down your net. Where am I going with this? Obedience. Give me a Bible, dear. I have an electronic one. Listen to me. Everything in this is not based on your subjective thoughts. That is why we can't, as preachers, eisegete the text. We get into trouble. We got to live from the text. What is in the text? And the text tells me that Jesus never stepped out of the boat. And secondly, it was a command from Jesus. Here is where I'm going. When Jesus gives you a command, I don't care what revival you're having, but I heard him said to Philip, stop the revival. Get in the desert. because I'm about to populate Africa with the gospel. What do you mean by get in the desert, start the revival? When Jesus gives you a command, I beg you to obey. My God, can I talk to you? It's not Praise Cathedral or West Toronto, it's important. It's where Jesus sends you.
There is a great fight, listen to me carefully, between pragmatism and faith. A great war in the church of the living God between, listen to me, Restauranto. If I preach anything like I tell my church that is not in scripture, take your Bible and walk through the door. Insult me, that's fine. Go through the door. Because I spend time looking in the word. There's a war between pragmatism and faith. There's a war between obedience and disobedience. There's a war between the voice of God and the voice of the devil. My God, we must obey the voice of God. How do I know the voice of God? The voice of God is always in accordance with the word, because God can never go against his word. And God is saying to somebody here, before I bless you, you gotta sit down and wait on me. And I will bless you in my time. And when my time come, I don't care how inconvenient it seems, wait and move at my command.
Let me show you a few more facts about the text and close it. As I said, the crew was a minimum of two. And there's no account that Jesus at no time got out. Let me tell you something. Why do we need to take a note of this text or this miracle? Until, listen to me carefully, until the introduction of transparent nylon net in the mid-1950s, trammel net fishing was only done at nights. And by this time, it was daylight. The fish could see and avoid the net. In addition, the trammel net fishing, amen, fishing, they had to scare the fish into the net. And nowhere in the text it is read that Jesus got out of the boat. Nowhere. Nowhere. Let me run on. First of all, let's look at the time of the day. Hot. Do you know what fish, what they do when it is hot? They dive deep. Or they head to the corner in to hide. Let me run on here. I want to show you something. Secondly, I want you to know something. Jesus, Peter didn't catch anything. Jesus, being God, was aware of his frustration and his exhaustion. He was aware. And he was also aware of his livelihood. Can I talk to you for a bit? When God asks you to give your tithes and you say to me, I'm not, because I got to pay my mortgage. And God will understand. God, listen to me, West Toronto. God cannot go contrary to his word. Well, you don't understand. I won't. God cannot go contrary to his word. And that's why I said there's a war in the church between pragmatism and faith. I must decide I'm going to obey God. He said, prove me. That's what it means. Amen. I will stretch you, but if you trust me, I will bless you. There's a war. But let me close up this thing here, because there's something more that I tell you Jesus knows about. He knows that we are in need. Listen to me. The amount of fish that Jesus, that Peter caught, it is said that type of boat, if it is full, If it is full, the amount of fish could serve the village for 2 weeks. For at least 2 weeks. No fisherman had gone out and would have caught so much. Can I tell you something? When Jesus comes on the scene, your life is going to be totally different and will be compensated. Peter said to Jesus, listen to me, I'm coming down. Peter said something to Jesus. He said, Jesus, what are we going to get after we have followed you and done all of this? Look at me. Tell any preacher that me says so. Sorry. I, Lennox Walker, say this. Listen to me. Look at me. Look at me. Tell anybody. Walk back to your house and tell anybody that we have spiritualized everything. But this is as blatantly clear as anything. Jesus said no man would leave his mother and father. And in what? In this life. Which one? What am I going to bless him with? House. Land. And when you're dead, I'm going to give you something better. What God was saying to Peter. Peter, if you obey me, can I land this plane? If you obey me, hear me, West Toronto. We have this place to take. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. Let me, can I land this boat here? Wait. You see, stand up. Can you stand up with me here a little bit? Come here. Let me use you. You see, any man, I told the church this morning, any house that is on fire, nobody said, let's fix the chair. I'm not giving you a joke. When God light the church on fire, the troublemakers, Shokora Baba Kushaya, will be silent. No man that is under the anointing fight his pastor. No man under the power of the Holy Spirit make trouble. No man. No man that God is moving on. As a matter of fact, I just read it to the church this morning. Revelation chapter 1 verse 17. When John got the revelation. Sit down. You come. You're a man. Sit down. Pull your jacket. You're too tight up. Pull your jacket. Kneel down. When John got the revelation, he did not only kneel down. We can clean it. Lie down like you're dead. The Bible says, listen to me. I'm giving you, I'm about to close. Any man that comes in the presence of Jesus, the Bible says he fell like a dead man worshiping God. When the church is in the spirit, when the church meets Jesus, when the church has a relationship with Jesus Christ, fighting go, backbiting go, all these things will flee. Can I tell you, we need revival at West Toronto, but we need to get back to obey Jesus. We can take this city. Oh God, I feel like a madman. I feel like a madman. We can take Jane and Finch. We can take Chalk Farm. We can take Wilson Avenue. We can take Jane Street. We can take the city. We can take it.